So I'm joined this afternoon by Sherry and Ashwini, fellow travelers from the recent trip to Zambia. Thanks for being with us. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Jen. Good to be with you again, so soon.
Again, exactly. And welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So in the good news update just before we left, I had mentioned that one of the reasons I was so enthusiastic about this particular trip was getting to have both of you on the ground because not having been there for a number of years, I was so eager to see through your eyes kind of what you were going to see. You know, obviously both of you being very intimately involved in the project and involved in all of the things that happened with the project, but not having gotten to be there in person for a number of years. And so it really was quite powerful to have that experience, and I thought it would be fun to get for folks to be able to kind of hear a little bit about that and what you saw from getting to be there after a number of years. And so maybe, Sherry, we could start with you, what you saw.
Yeah, and I think I've talked or written about most of this in other places. The thing, I was nervous going because, I mean, not really nervous, you know. There was just kind of this assumption almost that things would have kind of fallen apart because they've been on their own for a while, and it's a very difficult place to live, a very difficult place to get anything done. Plumbing is not common enough that it's easily created or maintained. And so I just kind of figured that things would have fallen apart. And I was stunned by how perfectly that place is being maintained. It was just extraordinary. Fresh paint and all the plumbing working and just clean. I mentioned the standing there shortly after arriving and seeing the young boy walk up, lift the lid on a 55-gallon drum, drop some trash in, and put the lid back on. This is a whole new world.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. The other thing that struck me was how much more outgoing the people there are. Shyness and reticence that I experienced last time I was there is just gone. People are speaking English to a degree that was just not there. I mean, it was hello, how are you, and that was the sum total of conversation, and that's just not the case anymore, especially with the children.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it was so fun because on just about every day you would make a comment about wow, this and that and that. And there were things that, certainly for me, it had been there almost 2 years since I had been there, so there certainly were jumps and things. For example, I also noticed how outgoing folks were, including many of the cooperative members who are not the English speakers, just really being forward and a part of the community. But lots of things, you would say them, and I would think, right, yes, but I hadn't really noted it because it had been a gradual process over a number of years. And so one of the things that I really realize is what a partnership it is, because trash one is a perfect example, because of course, you know, you look around Zambia and you think, well, it's dirty, but then you realize actually, no, it's not. There's trash on, you know, in public places because there's nowhere to put your trash. There's no trash pickup. But so people are sort of, what they do is they put trash on the ground. I mean, in particular places, but that's where it goes. So for that little guy.
Which is where it goes here, by the way. Right? It's the same process. It's the same exact process. We have the ability for it to go far enough away that we don't see it. And then a big bulldozer comes and digs it into the ground. But it's the exact same process.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So that little guy, I mean, it sounds so simple to us, but learning this is a trash can. We have one. Pick it up. Put the trash in there. that's mm-hmm. actually been a learning process. And so for him to do that, not with no, like he didn't know we were looking at him. You know, there was no self-consciousness to it. It was obviously just the
nobody
routine.
Told him to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody told him to do it. That's just what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, completely. And so, Ashwini, I would invite you to add in what you saw.
Well, you know, Jen, the thing that was most powerful for me about the experience, especially because when I went 8 years ago, I was part of this the world of development, right? So part of what biased my outlook then was how I was looking at the project from that perspective. But what moved me so profoundly about the project is, A, how much it's grown in size, right? I mean, truly, we have a quantum leap in the number of kids that we're feeding now. But it's truly extraordinary. I think it's that life place where we think that scale is important, but when we have scale, there's an abstraction that goes with it, right? It's just statistics and numbers and things like that. Yeah. But truly, the extent to which every person is an individual on this property and in this project, every child is known by her or his name, their story is known, that their parents and family circumstances are known. Somebody knows about that on the property. If somebody is sick, that is known. It is such a high-touch project that everything in it is, to me, symbolizes attention, awareness, and love. And that was completely moving. I mean, I saw that in Teresa and how she is with everyone on the property. I saw that with you and Shri Devi. You know, the level of knowledge that there is about every person, that you can call them by their name, you know who they are, you know who their mom is. You can ask questions about what happened to them in school. I mean, that to me was just astounding, and it also points to what is different now than it was 8 years ago when I went, is that we have Skype and we have communication structures that we're training people in, so it's possible to have context about everybody involved in the project in a way that we did not have before, unless we went to the project, right? So there's been a sort of like osmotically almost, the project has created an intimacy of community that I've never seen before. And it was profoundly moving for me to watch that, because it's so like how we are in our practice. It's individualized. Everybody is a person. Everybody is unique. What their needs are is unique, and how we cater to those needs is customized. And for some extraordinary reason, it's like a small group of people can pull it off because we're paying such a level of attention and because we have such a level of expanded awareness. And we treat people like that, right? That we greet everybody as a person, as an expression of life, as important and significant and acknowledged. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it, but that was just, it was just unbelievable.
I think you're saying it beautifully, actually.
I do too.
That was it. Somebody said, Jen, commented, I don't know where, but they commented on how much we use the word family. How much they heard us using that word, and it's because that's what it's like.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
It's not just it's a nice word to use in a situation. No. it's a very large extended family.
Yeah. I think I wrote about it in the last blog, but I had such a moving conversation with Veronica, where she remembered something that you said, Sherry, quite a number of years ago, talking about, it was funny because she even remembered the word she said, I think what Mama Sherry said is, all life is sacred. You love us, and almost like with this disbelief on her face, like not. I predicted it's not a disbelief like, well, I'm not worth it, I'm not that kind of thing, although that may be there too. But just this, wow, that you would come from halfway around the world in a place where, you know, she's projecting we have everything we need, which we do, that what would bring you here to us? And what she got was love. That's what would bring you here to us. And that's what's bringing us to each other, you know? Uh-huh. And I just had such a sense, the connections that are started, we'll talk more on the content level. We'll get to talk to Sri Devi next week so we can do a content wrap-up. But all of these synchronicities that are suddenly happening, a number of them for me on the way home, all these connections that I made that were just amazing. And what I saw in it was, wow, we could really do anything in this project that because of that foundation that Ashwini was just talking about. And without that foundation, I think that's why development projects struggle so much, is throw a bunch of money at it. Okay, yeah, great. That's going to look good for 3 or 4 years, but it's going to fall on its face. But when you have that piece of relationship and love in place, you can really, truly do anything. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that slow and steady approach.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
The first is the building the relationships, finding out who people are, what's important to them, what they need, what they want, and beginning to work together in that way. Some of the changes, of course, I know we're at time, but some of the changes that I saw, of course, that I just loved, is the way men and women are with one another, the way the men are with the children. And all of those things that people call tradition and are, in fact, just the same thing they are everywhere, which is oppression, they've just fallen away because that's not how we do it there. Everybody is equal, everybody is respected, everybody is appreciated for who they are. And of course, Teresa models that so beautifully.
So beautifully. You know, as do, I think, the leadership, Sherry, that you've brought and all of us have brought there, that's been an eye-opener for them, too. You know, that you stand there and do the dishes with them. They just can't believe it.
Look on their faces when I started clearing the table after they ate dinner, it's just staying in their chairs.
Almost. And actually, that was another thing that Veronica referred to, is like, you know, picking up the dishes for us. And because even in, you said it, and we are at time. But yes, but of course that culture has all of its own hierarchies and all of that. So to see that modeled is extraordinary.
Yeah, so it's so fun. And just going along with what you said about the connections and that sort of thing, it does feel like it's in, what is it called, Ashwini?
Well, it's
velocity.
Another tipping point.
Yes.
It's another tipping point where it feels like there's momentum towards a new plateau being crested, a new hill being crested, or whatever we want to say, right? That with the girls going to college, with some of the insights we've had about how to make changes in the education system, we have so much experience in the project. I think that's the other thing I saw, that the efficiency, the operating mechanisms, the things that we've tried that have worked and don't work, and that's what I felt. It was like a well-oiled machine, right? Schedules, classrooms, teachers, lists, classes. It's a marvel of efficiency and chaos, right? It comes out of a duration of time where methods have been tried, and what's left is what works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one quick thing, as we were talking, I just made a note. Maybe we can talk about this more at another time. I just made a note about Peter going to carpentry school, which is yeah. One of the miracles that came out of this, finding out about the training programs, and then there's something for our adults to do to continue their personal development, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
All right.
It really did have a feeling of like, oh, you need this? Here's that. Oh, this? Okay, that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the one thing you didn't get to do? Well, we'll put that person on the airplane with you. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's magic.
Well, so much gratitude to each of you. It's extraordinary. I talked about to you folks so many times, having you on the ground was just a giant gift for the entire project, not to mention that the team was beside themselves that you were there. So,
well, and just for us all to know that we're looking forward, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, to doing it in 2 years, because Teresa Capenda stood there, looked me in the eye, and said, you have to come back for the graduation. I cannot be there alone when these girls graduate.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. But I think pretty much
ask
she
for
said,
anything.
Yeah, exactly. You will be there, Mama Sherry. I'm not going to that graduation by myself.
Okay, Teresa.
Exactly.
So we're putting energy into
thank
that.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. And we'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jen and Sherry and Ashwin. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I could have listened to the three of you for the whole hour, that's for sure.
And you know, it could have gone that way. It's a great restraint on all of our parts to get stopped when we did. Yeah, there's just so
just
much, and
so
it's so exciting. Yeah,
just amazing. Had me in tears over here. It's just so wonderful.
Mm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Shall I jump to announcements?
Oh, please.
Okay. Celebrate courage, generosity, and family, as we just heard about, as part of the Africa Project by signing up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams. Our goal is to raise the $100,000 needed annually to support the work of this wonderful project.
Yes, and this is where I always say, and if somebody wants to do it, but they don't know how, and they don't, they can join me.
Yes.
I'm happy to have people join me. Yeah.
Yes, and I'll also mention the upcoming fundraising call, which I believe is this Saturday.
Yes, it is.
I think 8 a.m. Yeah, December 15th for more support and teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The new quarter begins January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And compassionate scheduling with the mentor, group coaching, will look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. This coaching session begins January 8th. The 2019 schedule preview is posted, so check it out and mark your calendars for the kickoff on January 19th.
Yes, from Center.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a couple of reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length and on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm. Here we go, huh?
Here we go. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Oh, that's a little shot of adrenaline from the voice saying you asked your question.
Uh-huh.
It was very inspiring hearing about your trip and following along from here. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's coming up for me to talk about is I've been struggling a little bit with, as you know, I have some chronic pain issues, and I have some stuff that's been flaring up, and noticing myself kind of getting into identification around it. It feels like it's one of those places where I've been practicing with it for a long time. So it's like, I kind of know what like the right answer is. You know, it's like, okay, I should be able to accept this, but then
with the ideal comes the actual.
With the ideal comes the actual.
Mm-hmm. I should be able to accept this, but doggone, right now I don't seem to be.
Right. And the standard recording has definitely been a lifesaver. You know, but just being able to kind of get to a different place with it.
Mm-hmm. This shouldn't be happening. I should be over this. This is a mistake, because it has been better.
Been better. Yeah, and it's true. And a lot of stuff is better. You know, and so it's kind of this thing of like, if this one thing could just stop hurting, you know, then mm-hmm. I'd be okay. You know, kind of sense of like, I've been working so hard, I've been doing all the right things, I've been trying this, and I've been doing that, and I've been doing all my exercises, and then, you know, why is this thing hurting, you know?
Yeah. Which is the real killer, isn't it? Because if we didn't go to that place, then it's like that resistance and negativity from conditioning is piling on. Obviously, it's not making anything better. In fact, it just gives you one more thing to deal with. Without that, mm-hmm. you would just hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a realization, which I've had this realization before, but it kind of it dropped in again. I got to this place of feeling like I was going to kind of like crawl out of my skin. It's like, I was like, the pain, it needs to stop. It needs, you know. And it wasn't even really pain. It was just, I could just like feel, you know, just kind of discomfort or just kind of a pressure or just kind of but it was like this, like,
can't stand it.
And mm-hmm. realizing, which I've seen before, but, you know, it was like, oh, wait, that's not the discomfort. That's the fear process. That's ego. That's not, you know, those two things don't need to go together. You know?
Yeah. Well, and isn't it interesting that you've seen that before and then you forget and then you're in that situation again and you have that insight again. You remember, all right, that's how that goes. And now I'm not saying that, you know, that's the reason this is happening. I'm not suggesting that at all. And that happens in every place in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's what's happening, and there's what ego, conditioning, karma, self-hate piles on.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you said, they don't need to go together. They don't actually have anything to do with one another, but they get put together. So every time something is happening with us, we're in pain, we're disappointed, or hurt or upset or whatever it is that's going on, then that system piles on something else, whether it's this shouldn't be happening, or this is wrong, it's unfair, or what's wrong with you that this is, why aren't you over this? You should be, whatever it is. And that's what makes it intolerable. Mm-hmm. Not the whatever it is, but what's mm-hmm. being done to us, because there's that opening with whatever yeah. is happening to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it has a broad things. Application, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I also got to see how it's like I had actually been looking at this with my coach a little while ago, you know, with a package a couple of months ago, but realized, you know, and I had made some great recordings about the, you know, being with the one who's in pain and all, you know, all that stuff. But then I'd start feeling better. So then, and I was like, where are those recordings again? How do I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So they just sort of get yeah. pushed to the back burner, you know. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my. Why do I need a roof on such a sunny day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we fall for all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about that strikes me, because I have a pain too, Laura, and it's gone through all kinds of stages, from one of those. You know, just fall down on the floor, writhing in pain, that level, to it just comes and goes. And so I've watched it over years, how it does that. And what I've realized is that it's part of something that I don't understand.
Mm.
It's not random. It's not something I'm doing, as far as I can tell, but it's something. It's something. and for me to realize that it's not my fault, I'm not responsible, I can't stop it, I can't control it. I can learn to be with it, and as I've learned to be with it and pay attention to it, it is no longer debilitating, but it's still there. And it comes and goes the way, and this is the, as a student of Zen, the part that fascinates me, as all other karma seems to come and go.
Hmm. And I think, judging from the amount of emotion that came up for me as you were talking about that, I think that that piece of... I don't need to figure it out. It, you know, like this isn't something I need to make go away or understand. Or
mm-hmm. It's not your fault. You're not doing anything wrong. It's just sometimes there and sometimes not there. And it, at least in my case, and I'm guessing in yours, is utterly mysterious. And I can twist myself into whatever, trying to figure it out or have some influence over it, but I just can't. That's what I've gotten to.
You know, it's very reassuring to me that you have that experience too.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually, this is where, you know, people can kind of raise some eyebrows, but I'm actually very grateful for it, because it does enable me to relate to what a lot of other people experience. If I didn't have an experience like that, I wouldn't have any idea what people were talking about.
And what came up in a tuned recording recently was, this requires me to go to that other place. You know, requires me to.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that good? Because in an honest moment, we know we wouldn't go if we weren't required.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Take good care of her, please.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, that was a fascinating conversation. And what was dropping in was, as you both were sharing, the wisdom in I don't know and accepting and letting go, just really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And to be in that that place where we have no choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so that we really yeah. get that, again, in all situations in life, that the same rules, if you want to think of it that way, the same rules apply. We don't know. We don't have any control. There's no reason to believe that it's our fault or that that it should be different. This is just what we have. And what we can do is accept it and be as kind and present and compassionate as we can possibly be with the person who's having the experience. And in that way, I suspect, we are required to go to compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yep, fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Patty from Vancouver.
Hello, hey, Patty.
I don't usually put myself in the queue for the afternoon show on Tuesdays. I don't know why. And I decided I'm doing it today.
There you go.
Yes, and I don't have to feel badly if I haven't done any assignment because there isn't one for tonight.
Isn't that a relief?
It is. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can just talk about whatever is going on.
Exactly. And I am just so excited. I'm just like, this isn't usual for me this time of year when it's so dark to be. I'm just so excited.
Uh-huh. Now, is that right now or generally speaking in your life?
Well, right now and since I started this campaign for the Africa Project.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is I wanted to feel like I belonged. I wanted to feel like I was contributing. I wanted to practice generosity and gratitude. And it's come back to me in many, many ways. And so...
Say more about that, please.
Well, a friend of mine who is also a meditator, she's in Hawaii, but she decided, oh, I'm going to give 3 gifts to friends and I'm selling pottery. So she sent me, you know, she donated and she said, I'm in Hawaii, so could you please email these 3 people and have them pick something? And so I sent them an email and said, you know, here, pick something. Your friend offered you a gift and I'm happy to deliver it. And I get these emails today, 3 of them. They're like, oh, that's so exciting. I love your project. I love your pottery. I'd like this one. And so I get to take it to them on behalf of my friend. And they hear about the project. And my friend is excited about it. And I don't know. It was just, it's like that passing it along. Everybody's kind of benefiting.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
I really feel the giving, receiving part of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and the lit up, right? Coming, you're lit up.
Yes.
Yeah. Other people, it's infectious. And other people get close to that lit up, and they get lit up, and we can just feel that ripple of excitement and well-being and presence and participation and here and happier and
And the pottery. Last week I took it over to a couple friends and we sat around and met again because I hadn't seen them for a while. And, you know, and she says, okay, I like the one you gave my friend over here. Will you make me some and I'll contribute more money? So I made another pot and, you know, so it just kind of continues. I'd like another order, please, you know. And I'm leaving in a week to go to Christmas with my family. And my husband, my kids, we all will converge at the same place. And I'm excited because it's Christmas and my birthday, and that's what I've asked for, a donation. So, and then I come down to the monastery, and I can bring it with me. And so I just like, I don't know, it's just so exciting.
It is, isn't it? It is.
You know, to be able to bring checks and hand them to you, you know, almost that physical giving, you know, is just...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just made life very exciting.
Yeah, it does. And it's so, I look at this a lot, Patty. It would be a really hard thing to convince most people that giving is the fastest way to be lit up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it a while ago. And getting involved in this project, I really feel like I belong. You know, I'm contributing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting so much back because of that. I really
That's right.
Physically that now.
Yes. Yes. Because and it's I think it's a law of the universe. When we're trying to get, we're coming from a place of deprivation.
Yeah.
And deprivation doesn't feel good.
That's
right. And when we're giving, we're coming from a place of plenty, of sufficiency. And that generosity is what we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's exactly ego being the world of opposites, what we've been taught to believe about what makes us happy is exactly the opposite of what's true.
Uh-huh. It leads me to want to say yes to more things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Leaving ego behind in the dust is what I want to do, and just say yes to more volunteering or, you know, just making more pottery and carrying on this journey. And it gives me purpose for what I'm doing with my hands and how that can help others. And now that I've met all these beautiful African people, you know, as part of family, it feels like that extension of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the more we participate, the more engaged we are, the more connected we feel. As you say, the more we realize we belong, we are a part of this, of all of this, which makes us so much more open to other people.
Yeah,
we see other people. We recognize that they're there and they're actually real. And we're interested in them and care about them and want good things to happen for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's heart opening.
Yes. Perfect. That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so
and
what I
it's
wanted
addictive.
To talk about.
That's very good. I love to talk about that. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank
you for that.
Yeah. Right. We'll see you
good night.
Okay.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. Sherry, I've been working on my own campaign, and I sent out a bunch of emails to friends last night, and it is just so energizing to put it out there and get, you know, positive responses back. It's very energizing, fabulous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the best, really.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks relative to that ad that the Practice Recorder app for the iPhone is available on the App Store, and it's a great way to support recording and listening.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you for that. That is a good thing.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. And here is our next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Autumn.
Hey, how are you?
Well, it was so beautiful to see you and everybody in Africa. It was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Oh, a pleasure, a pleasure.
I have a question that's related to that. That's kind of the opposite of what the previous caller was experiencing. I would like some guidance about how to deal with disappointment. And I have a content in this case, but it's in general. So I had this idea for my birthday that everybody who wanted to give me a gift could donate to the project, no? So I prepared the beautiful page with the description. I put it on Facebook. Then I threw a big party, and I told everybody, don't bring anything. And either you donate through the link or there will be a box here at the party and you can just throw the money in, you know, like in this box. So I made this big box and I printed a picture of the girls and I put it on top of this box and there was this super big party and nobody brought anything. And then I opened the box and there was the equivalent of $5. And the link was a little bit better, but only 3 people donated. And I was really disappointed, you know. And I was also enraged a little bit, you know. And I would like to know, like, I'm sure this happens to you guys too. So how do you deal with it? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, that is a hard place. There's no question about it. And, you know, it kind of depends on how you how you want to be with it. Because one possibility is just to approach this as if everybody just forgot, you know, or they didn't see the box, or they missed the link, and you just send out another message that says, great having you at the party. Thank you so much for coming. It was wonderful seeing you. Here's a reminder about the project that I'm so passionate about, and just see what happens. Because very often, it really is the case that people are busy, they don't think about it. Oh, you did that.
Yeah. I didn't say that it was empty. I sent it the following day. Thank you to everybody who donated. I didn't say that only one person did. And for those who couldn't do it, here is the link again. And everybody liked the link.
They liked the link. They just didn't give any money.
Yeah. And, you know, I have told people, you know, you just don't have to spend more than what you would spend to bring something to drink at the party, you know. Like, suppose you would have bought some beers, instead put the money in the box, you know. It's not that I was expecting, you know,
to
donate half their salary, you know. So,
But well,
maybe
it's a hard one.
Egocentric. I don't, because now, when I was telling you this, I heard a voice like saying that you wanted them to do what you want, but people don't do what you want, you know, kind of like that.
Well, do you think that that's really it? That's not what I project. I project that you feel unloved.
Yes. But, you know, yes. But it doesn't make sense because all the people that were invited were good friends who have shown me their love in many ways, you know, throughout our friendship. So I'm really confused.
Is there anybody that you could ask?
Oh, this hasn't occurred to me. How would I ask it without offending them?
Well, that's the tricky part. You know, to be able to say, just have a conversation about what somebody would project would be motivating a person under those circumstances. I mean, if it's a really good friend, it would be risky, I suppose. But if you were prepared to have a whole conversation, to just find out what would stop you from that? Did it feel like it's just something you're not interested in, or you know what? What?
Something
because otherwise
in.
You just left with projection.
Yeah. You know, now that you say this, a way that dropped in, since a lot of my closest friends work in communication and advertising, I could kind of ask, do you think something was wrong with my campaign communication? Something
there
like
go.
That.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
there
would
you
ask
go.
Like that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because it'll be fascinating, right, to see. You know, there's that old story, I don't know where it comes from, but of the king who asked everybody in the kingdom to bring a jug of milk to this event. And they were going to pour all the milk in this big container, and everybody thought, well, everybody else will bring milk, so I'll just bring water. And, of course, they wound up with a big thing of water and no milk. Because everybody thinks, well, everybody else is going to give, so I don't need to, or I can't. I can't afford it right now. But, you know, other people will be doing it, so it'll be all right. You know, she'll be fine. It'll be covered.
Uh-huh. This is kind of what I'm projecting that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. A very human place. But I think that's a great technique to ask about the campaign, see what is said, and then you could, if they have suggestions, you could relaunch the campaign.
I can relaunch
with their suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah. I can say it's 1 month anniversary from my birthday.
That's right. That's right. Still time. Mm-hmm. Still time to mm-hmm. give. Yeah.
Yeah, I will try.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know what they say, okay? I'd be very curious. All right. Thank you,
Isota. Your advice. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, this is Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
How are you doing?
I know, I've been hiding out a little, and it's been a while, so I thought I should, I wanted to call in. And, you know, those last two conversations were really, really helpful. Well, the whole show has been really, really helpful and inspiring, and I had this really great insight on my reflective listening buddy's call that just dropped in, and so, yeah, I just wanted to call in.
And so what's been going on?
Yeah, I saw this bamboozle that, you know, in hindsight was pretty obvious that.
Oh, aren't they? Aren't they? As soon as we see through them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But boy,
yeah.
Until we do, they are not obvious a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful because it led me to this other insight as I was talking about it on my call. Egocentric karma conditioning was promising me, you know, lifelong happiness as soon as I finished this degree. And I had one day where I was allowed to be elated, and then, you know, it sort of descended on me after that. And I saw it, you know, and I saw how that same process of being promised us happy future was being projected onto me with, you know, if I was just the right person in practice, then I would be happy.
If you fill in the blank,
yep.
Then you'll be happy.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that's just the oldest, I mean, that is just the most basic process of suffering, you know, the oldest trick in the book, however you want to call it. So,
well, and it's such a carrot and stick thing, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
It just holds out this promise and then it then beats you, and then holds out a promise and beats you, and there we go
mm-hmm,
along
mm-hmm,
the path
mm-hmm.
of life. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. So I was super inspired and happy, and you know, I saw a lot. I think it was the first conversation you talked about forgetting and remembering and forgetting, and you know, just kind of that back and forth of like, how many times have I seen this, wanting to keep that realization in mind, but then almost like feeling like wanting to cling to it, or you know, just like, oh, I don't want to forget this. I don't want to forget this.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, you're doing reflective listening buddies, right? So even though you've dropped out of sight, you're still practicing. Right? aren't you? Isn't that what
yeah.
you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Mhm. And so
I say to whatever extent. To whatever extent, you know.
But enough that there's an opening for the clarity to come to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the insights can drop in, and that there's an insight like to call into the show and put yourself in the queue, and you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're constantly being bamboozled, which we are, we're also constantly helped to come to and see through the bamboozle. So if we don't think about it the way ego wants us to think about it, like there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, then we see that it's just simply all we're doing is seeing through bamboozles.
Right.
It's not the getting bamboozled is not the point. Seeing through the bamboozle is the point. Right?
Yeah, so
and it, of course it would like you to believe that if you didn't get bamboozled, then you would be happy.
Yeah.
Which is that same process.
All over again. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I have anything else to say about that other than, you know, just practicing the process of seeing and being here. And I related a lot to the last the project experience with the last time I kind of reached out to people about so I should try again.
So you had a similar lack of response?
Yep. So I should try again with maybe a different approach or a different tactic. So,
yeah.
I had this idea actually to you know, have people give me, you know, like if they wanted a portrait drawn, you know, they could give me a photograph or if they, you know, a quote or you know, just some little thing. And then I would make the a piece of art about it or, you know, using whatever little prompt they wanted, and then I would donate, you know, give them the piece of art, and then they could donate to the project, which I still think is a decent idea, and I don't know if I sent that idea to the right people, and maybe I should revisit it with different folks.
That sounds like a great idea.
I thought it was a great idea.
I mean, you're not just asking people to give money. You're giving them art. And Patty, you know, it's pottery, and Isota is a great party. And, you know, it's not like there isn't some sort of give and take here.
Right. Yeah, so, So I think the right people,
Yeah, and it is a mystery. I do this retreat, the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat, and part of it is engaging with people in this way on a regular basis. And it is such an education because what we get to is there's just no figuring it out that people will just not respond. You'll communicate and they won't communicate back, or you can ask them about something 10 or 15 times and they, you know, they just remain noncommittal. And then a year and a half later, they come back and say, I want to do that. And it's a complete bafflement.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I get out of doing it is that the people themselves don't know what's going on. So it's all the stuff that goes on with us, right? I'm too busy. I forget. I plan to do it. I procrastinate. And then it goes out of my mind completely. And if nobody reminds me, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But if somebody keeps reminding me, eventually it's all going to line up. And it's what I want to do. But what happens with us is we're so self-conscious about not bugging somebody, not upsetting them, projecting onto them what's going on with them. And so we quit before the person actually has a chance to get through whatever is going on with them that's preventing them from engaging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, and, yeah. You know, part of it, Zoe, is the not wanting to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like to court rejection. And so if somebody doesn't seem enthusiastic right away, we're conditioned to just say, okay, fine, it doesn't matter, I don't. So can we keep going back and be the one who's vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
And just see what's going on with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Thank you. And thank you so much.
You are welcome. Always good to talk with you. Don't be a stranger.
I know. It's my goal. To be less of a stranger.
I know you're working on it. I know you are. I shouldn't tease you about it.
All right.
Thanks,
Zoe.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I will. This is Carol from Washington.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Hey, I haven't called in for quite a while. I've been overseas traveling. And while I was traveling, I continued to practice recording and listening and doing the death and dying retreat and listening to the radio program. So that was a new thing for me, you know, to practice, have all those practice activities while I was traveling.
Wow.
So,
good
yeah,
for you. What was that like?
Well, I felt connected, and it just kept me really busy. It was like, you know, with the email class and the radio show, it was like a couple hours a night I could spend, you know, keeping up, listening to, to reading everyone's responses and, you know, doing my own work. So it was fun to have. I had lots of free time, so to have the time to do that in kind of a leisurely fashion was kind of like a gift in itself. So,
you didn't hear information about it was taking away from your trip or
no,
that sort of thing. Uh-huh.
No, not at all. I had lots of time to do it, so it was just, you know, a little bit of sense of spaciousness, which I appreciated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
well, wonderful.
Yeah, so that was,
and were you in a very different time zone?
Yeah, I was, 13 hours off. And yeah.
Wow.
So I listened to, I didn't listen live. I listened to the recordings of the radio shows.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Oh, that
and
is
so,
very fun.
Yes. Thank you. And, so I've been back two days, you know, where I could have listened. I could have called in. I could have got in the queue, you know, for the morning show, but I didn't. So I decided to get in the queue for today. So now I'm on
That's
the air.
That's very good. You're doing fine with jet lag then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am quite alert at odd times in the middle of the night, but,
Well, again, it's spacious. You can listen to recordings, right? You can practice.
Yes, and that's what I have been doing, you know, for some of the time. Oh, it's really funny. So before this program, I'm thinking about what I want to talk about, you know, and kind of rehearsing, and then I'll listen to another caller, and then I'll change my idea. And every time I hear someone, my idea changes, and I forget what I'm going to talk about. But I think what I wanted to talk about, I wanted to, there's so many things I just appreciate about practice. And Yeah, I've been practicing for a long time now. And recording and listening, I do that every day. And at night, I listen to all the recordings I've made during the day. But I don't have a very strong relationship with a mentor. I don't have confidence in that relationship. So I was wanting some guidance about that.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so when you, how do you approach the relationship with the mentor?
Well, occasionally, you know, I'll say, okay, I'm going to talk to the mentor every day this week. And so then I do that. How do I approach it? Yeah, so that's what I do.
And then but I you don't feel like the mentor is talking back to you?
Well, sometimes it feels like it's the mentor, and sometimes it feels like, well, someone's giving me advice, or, well, yeah, that's how it goes with practice, and that's how it goes with life, but not that real kind of deep kind of sympathy. And sometimes I feel like I get it, and sometimes I don't. And then the other thing is, you know, then I get into a mode of, well, I'll get organized about this, you know. I have recordings with the mentor that really felt real, so I don't know where they are, but... So I can get, you know, that's a track I can get into. If only I could find those. And that's not what I want to do. You know, I want to access it in the moment. And even I hear myself calling it it.
Uh-huh. It being the mentor.
The mentor. It is uh-huh. The mentor is in it. So,
so it, yes, yes, being wisdom. Kind of,
mm-hmm. Pardon me?
It being wisdom. The mentor, wisdom, clarity.
Yeah.
Mhm. And so when you're talking along, when you're recording, do you often or do you experience insight?
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of time. A lot of time I have insight and awareness and perspective and all kinds of good things as part of my. Not particularly in relationship to the mentor, but just part of my recording and listening practice.
Uh-huh. And so what if those insights are the mentor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what
I mean?
That,
uh-huh.
That sense of wisdom coming to you, it's not, you're aware that you're not thinking it, the way we talk about it, it drops in.
Yeah, sometimes it drops in, or I'll use just the words, it occurs to me, and I think that's just a synonym for it drops in, because it's not like I went through a thought process or a figuring out
mm-hmm.
process. There.
Mm-hmm.
It just,
yeah, it's just there.
Something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So it might be interesting just to begin to consider that even though the information doesn't come to you perhaps in complete sentences as if somebody is talking to you, that wisdom that drops in, that just occurs to you, is perhaps coming from the same place that we call the mentor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it's kind of a semantic thing to do. Like, I hear what you're saying. You're saying it already exists. I already have it, or I hear it, or whatever. But I don't.
Yes.
I don't identify it. That's the matter. It's like, well, I don't. I think there's some ego thing that says, well, I can't really have that final level, that deep level of support or something like that, you know.
Because, yes. And the clue that I had, that I suspect you're onto something there, is that I don't trust it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Because
yeah,
ego is certainly very invested in not trusting that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like I try to talk with the mentor and I get kind of platitudes or... So I try and refocus, okay, what does this person really, really want to hear? And it's not explanations. So that's
yes.
often what the
yes.
mentor
well,
is that, getting.
And you mentioned that you do the two-handed recording, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's that's where it can come in. We were just working on the revision of the depression book today and doing a retreat in the back of it and with recording and listening, adding recording and listening and the two-handed exercise, so it's very fresh in my mind. And that that notion that when the person speaks, when she talks about what's going on for her, the importance of sitting still and then listening to that, listening to what she has to say, really listening, and then being still and waiting for that clarity to come, so that when you speak, it's coming from that deeper, wise place, not from the platitudes. And you're familiar with what it feels like when that clarity drops in. So it's letting that clarity speak.
And that being still, because ego wants to speed it all up, you know.
Oh, sure. Get past it. And if possible, make sure it doesn't work.
Okay, so the being, it's not like coming up with something like, okay, this would be a good thing for the mentor to say, but just being still until it kind of naturally arises. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly it. That is exactly it. And our part of it is to be still until the wisdom is there. And it's for exactly what you're pointing at, because ego wants to come in and take over that role and turn it into something that we just go, well, it's not that. That's just platitudes. That's not, there's no wisdom in that. And that's true. There isn't. But when we sit still, and we really wait for the clarity to be there, the wisdom to come to us, that's kind of doing our part in the relationship.
What happens now is sometimes when I will be listening to what I've just said, it's already or ego's coming up with things to say.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And I do know what you mean. And it's twofold, right? You're not really listening to her, to that person who's speaking. Because attention is on ego coming up with platitudes, right? So we're training ourselves really to be listening to that person, to what she has to say, honoring her in that way. And then... and then sitting still and waiting for the wisdom to be there to support her. Really what you're training yourself for is to get your attention off of conditioned mind, right? Mm-hmm. Really be there with her, and then really be there in that stillness, waiting, patient, looking for, and then receiving the clarity when it comes to you.
Right, receiving the clarity and not figuring it out.
Yep. Yeah. It's good,
This is really good. Yeah, this is good. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's very exciting. Okay, very good. See you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous open air.
It does. To the end and beyond.
To the end and beyond, yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Take
good
care,
we'll talk soon. Go
happy. All right. Go happy.
Okay. Bye.